Good morning.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody, and want to welcome anybody who's at home watching. Good morning.
Hope you all survived the storm.
Yeah, lots of storms. Lots going on in our world, so we want to begin by reorienting ourselves to our Savior and our God, because that might help. So let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you for being the creator of the universe, and that you were, you are, and you will be. You are over time and space. You are over all creation, and you have found a way to be with us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have poured out your Holy Spirit on us. You have created your church, a place that announces the good news. And we need good news. We need your presence and your voice today. And so we've come here to find that. And so we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love, for your provision, for your promise of hope and peace. And we give our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we wanted to have a time to kind of settle our souls and our minds. And we're going to read Psalm 46. This is the famous psalm. Matt's going to read it for us. You can also look it up, because I want to have just a minute or so to sit quietly with it. So if, as we read it, if there's a verse that jumps out, allow that to settle you. But it has, "Be still and know that I am God." So that's where we want to kind of settle down as we begin today's worship.
So it's Psalm 46. If you want to read along, it's on page 269. And this is to help us settle in this time of very real anxiety and unrest for all of us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, give us a moment to recognize your presence in the midst of us. That even though the world feels like it is falling apart around us, you are here, and you do not change. You are our constant hope in the source, in the midst of all trouble. Give us a moment to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracious God and Heavenly Father, you know the shock and sorrow that the events of these days have spread across the land. We are helpless before the evil that afflicts us, and therefore cry out to you for comfort, shelter, and protection. Mercifully embrace the frightened in your love, empower the weak with your strength, restrain the wicked by your might, and preserve the righteous in your grace, giving us your peace and turning tragedy to triumph. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
do the confession absolution?
Yes. So, in times of trouble, Jesus said to his disciples, when you hear of disasters and tragedies, this should be your response. Repent. Repent, because this could happen to you. Our response is to say, God, we're sorry. We have ruined your creation. Please forgive us. And so today, we're going to start off with saying, Lord, please forgive us. We have ruined your creation. So if you will go to page D, let us stand and read the prayer of confession to one another, to God. Let us confess, saying, most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we are celebrating Holy Trinity Sunday. Yes, thank you.
I can intro it with you.
Yeah, you want to?
And the reason Trinity Sunday is important is because it's a major part of what we believe. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So in the church calendar, there is a day where we celebrate it. It's at the end of the Easter season, mm-hmm. Pentecost, coming of the Holy Spirit, where God has revealed himself in three persons, one God. So it's one God, one nature, but three persons. And that's what we're going to be, really, we're announcing as good news for us today. So I do want to give you one bit of information about the Trinity. There are a lot of people throughout history who have said there's no such thing as the Trinity because it's making it, God into many gods. And so we don't need to get into who says that, but it's an ancient heresy that we've fought against and have creeds against because they're trying to figure out the Father, Son, Holy Spirit from your own reason. As a creature, trying to figure out God is very difficult because God hasn't revealed all of himself to us. And so it's a mystery. And the word Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible, but that's not proof that there is no Trinity. In fact, the Trinity is brought up throughout the scriptures. Even Jesus Christ himself, we'll discover today, says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there's Paul talking about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the Old Testament, you're going to be made in our image. There's all sorts of, we believe, a very biblical idea. The word Trinity just describes it. And it's really important to us. So we're going to proclaim to you the good news about the Trinity today, knowing we can't fully understand all its mysteries, but by faith, we see the heart of God, which is always good and loving towards us. Is that a good intro?
That was a great intro. You did great.
Matt's going to do the first part. Scene one.
You can go sit down now.
God.
Scene one. So the Trinity is how God has revealed himself to us. So it is a mystery. It's something that if you're like, I don't know if I fully comprehend this, that's okay. Because you are not God, and you were not made to fully comprehend this. But this is how God reveals himself to us. So our first reading for today is Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5, and verses 26 through 29. And I shouldn't have to tell you what page that's on. Should be able to figure that one out. It's page one. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And so it was. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. This is the reading of God's word. First character of the Trinity that we meet is God the Father. And we confess God the Father in our creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. This is the first part of the creed, and this comes from what we just read. God the Father is our creator. He is our maker, and we are his creatures. And from what we see here, he gives us every good thing. Everything that we need to live, God has thought about it and given it to us freely as a gift. Not something that we have to earn or achieve. God just gives it to us. And he not only gives it to us, but he gives it to all of his creatures. I love in that second part, after he says, "I've given you man, I've given you humanity, all, every seed, everything to eat, but I've also given it to the animals." God gives us every good thing, and he cares and loves his creation. But in our brokenness, we are blind to his goodness. It's impossible for us to understand or comprehend that God actually cares for us and freely gives us things that we don't deserve. It is very difficult for us to understand, especially now in times of trouble, where all we can see is the bad. But this is our abuse of God's good gifts. Not only can we not understand that God is giving us good things that we can just freely enjoy, but we take it and then abuse it and use it for our own comfort, our own security, our own pride, our own gluttony. We just consume it. And then we accuse God of not giving us enough, of abandoning us. And then we fight with one another for more. This is our natural state that we are in. I know this because I was having an awesome conversation with my niece, Claire, last night while we were playing some card games, and we made some milk and cookies, and Claire goes, I don't drink milk. I drink only almond milk. I'm like, oh, right, yeah, we have almond milk. And then Christina, I'm just solving the problem. Christina has to ask, oh, why? I'm like, oh, okay, I just want to play this game. And so, and this is my own sin working out. And so Claire goes, well, I watched this documentary a few years ago, and I saw the horrible treatment of cows, of milking cows. And I just couldn't be a part of that anymore, so I only drink almond milk now. And this is how I know we cannot understand the good gifts that God gives us, or even what's around us, because instantly in me, I'm trying to dismiss what she's saying and go, okay, cool. Why is that a big deal? But then I had just read Psalm 104, which I want to read it, but it's really long, and for your sake, you can go back and reread it. But Psalm 104 talks about how God cares for the livestock, how he cares about the cows in the fields, and how he provides food for them and shelter for them. And so then I go, okay, I'm confronted by that reality of maybe we are mistreating our cows. Maybe we are actually mistreating the good gifts that God has given us and abusing them. And yes, she had mentioned, and I had done some research, that humans are the only creatures that continue to drink milk after infancy. So yeah, maybe we are abusing God's creation. And then I find some moral high ground, because I remember, oh yeah, I'm lactose intolerant and I drink almond milk anyway, so I'm good. So then, and this is all happening in seconds. Like, Claire has no idea. This is the first time she's hearing about any of this process. I'm having an existential crisis while trying to play a card game. And Christina comes in with the law in a joke. She comes swinging the hammer of God after this statement of, we're mistreating our cows, so I only drink almond milk. And Christina goes, wait till you see what they do to the almond trees. And then the hammer of God comes crashing into my moral high ground and sends me flying into my own sin, into the recognition of, holy cow, the moment we try to solve a problem. Thank you. Intentional. The moment we try to solve a problem, we just go and create more problems. The moment we try to stop the hurt and pain in one area, all we do is go share it with someone else. We just take the hurt and pain that we have took out on the cows, and now we put it on the almond trees. Because we can't go without milk. I still have to have my coffee, and coffee requires some sort of milk, so I have to have something. So cut down all the almond trees, please. Give me something. And that is our gluttony. That is our sin. And everywhere you look, this is how it plays out, is we continually abuse God's good gifts, even in our moral high ground, where we think we're finally doing something right, we're just hurting someone else. This is what happens. This is our state. And God's, the Father's word to us, his law, shows us how far we've fallen from the creatures he created us to be. And we have to deal with the fact that we have not met the expectations of our Father. That we are disappointments to our Creator. But here's the good news of the Trinity. God still gives us good things. God gives himself to us completely. And so we are incapable of meeting the expectations of our Father. So what does our triune God do? He sends us the Son, who can do the work that we can't.
Since I know the Son so well, I'll talk about him.
The S-U-N?
I always make Matt tell the bad news about how you've sinned. And the Father's disappointed. But then I'm like, but wait, wait. The Trinity then expresses itself. God is always for you, giving good gifts. I forget about that. But then he's also made the move to come to you in your sin, in your violence, in your overreaction, in your indifference, or in your zealousness to make things right. He comes to you whether you deserve it or not. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. God puts on flesh and comes to you. There's no other God. There's no other religion that has the God putting on flesh coming to you. Look it up. There's just no other, there's no system. Every other system gives you good advice. Here's maybe what you can do to get back to that God, or you should do this. That's just good advice. We are the only ones that have a triune God that has good news that the God has put on flesh to come to you. And it's from the beginning of time. It wasn't just like, oh man, this has gone off the rails. Jesus was there at creation. That our God is a God of relationship. We can't understand it, but Jesus is there from the beginning. Jesus is all God. It's God coming to us in a way that we could touch and feel and hear and see. This is the second person of the Trinity. So, I wanted to read another Bible verse. You can handle it. In Acts chapter 2, we're finishing Peter's sermon at Pentecost. And this is when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Not sure what page that is.
What verse?
22. Acts chapter 2, 530. Page 530. This is still a speech that Peter makes to Jerusalem, to Jewish folks, to all the folks who are part of God's people. He's been preaching. He just talked about Joel and the Old Testament prophet because the Jewish people would understand that. And he's going to reference David because Jewish folks would understand, or Israelites would understand, the role of David. And so he says, "Men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth. A man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God," so from the beginning of time, "you crucified and killed him by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "I'm glad you asked. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. I had to read the whole thing because It's good. You can see the reference to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can see Peter saying with confidence, Jesus is in charge. You killed him. He rose again. He's with God. He pours out the Holy Spirit. You see the Trinity playing, and Peter's announcing this with confidence. And the main thing for us today, I'll say, in coordination with the Trinity is, let's just think for a second about the authority of Jesus. Do you have anybody do you know anybody that is the one person that, there's only one person that can do something for you? So like at your work, there's only one person with that key or that combo, or there's one person. Remember in the early days at New City, we met at the school. And if you remember Ruth and Larry, I just talked to them last week, and we need to pray for Larry. He's going through physical things. But there was a year or two where Larry was the only guy who had authority to unlock the school and to disarm the alarm. Do you remember that? And do you remember when Larry was out of town once? What was her name? What was the lady, the main secretary? She forgot I'd coordinated it, and so she was going to fill in for Larry, and she wasn't there, and time kept going. She wouldn't answer her phone, but somehow we knew where she lived, and I went to her door on a Sunday morning, and she was in, like, her nightgown. She's like, oh, I forgot. She was the one person who had the authority, and then we were setting up chairs outside, like, in the heat, like, I guess we're going to do it under this tree. Anyway, I just had that memory, because the last several months, we haven't been able to make many memories. Have been living. So it's like, what happened in the past? There's a person who has actual authority to disarm, and you have to find that person. Otherwise, you can't do it. We all have that. And Jesus Christ is God saying, I am the only one who can save. I am the only one who can actually save your soul from being ravaged by death. I am the only one who, I am the God of life. I am the only one that can give your soul, your anxious, scared soul, peace. I am the only one who can offer that to you. I am the only one who can give you justice. Whew. I'm the only one who can offer you a future. I'm the only one who can say, I know your name and I care for you and I talk to God for you all the time. I'm the only one. Jesus is the only one who actually dies. He actually walks through the worst possible scenario of authority figures abusing their power, authority figures lying and killing and torturing. I mean, that's what our whole story is about. It's about God coming to earth to do something about all the stuff we see in the world. And just, you guys know me, I don't take a position politically for all this stuff, because every Sunday, I do a protest with you all. Our protest, and you're free to protest. I'm not making a comment on, I'm just saying, just know that church for 2,000 years has been a protest against authority. I hope you know that. Because we're, no matter where you have lived or what you're doing, we're always saying Jesus Christ is Lord, not Caesar, not whatever government you're under. We've never put our hope in authorities. We ask God, we obey them and we trust them to keep peace, but we never look to them for peace in our souls or for complete and perfect justice or for life. So that's why we gather around the voice of Christ. God has given us his word and written and spoken word, that we gather around Christ here now through his word, and we gather around his body, his presence is here now. That's why he set this up. And every week we have to re-pledge allegiance to the second person of the Trinity, God, who came to us. And we say, wait, I'm freaked out and I don't know what to do, because I don't want to be a racist and I don't want to support bad things, but I don't know, I don't want to do, it's very confusing, and you're allowed to be confused and do whatever you want. Because at the end of the day, as Christians, we're the ones who go, wait, the real peace and the real announcement of justice is that Jesus Christ died for us. He took the justice we deserved. We are the murderers. And he says, your sin can't keep me dead. Don't worry. And your sin can't, and my sin can't keep me dead. Don't worry. It's a message of forgiveness by the actual authority of one who can forgive. And so while we try to work out, and I'm absolutely for working out, loving your brother and sister, and peace, I pray for peace. I pray for hearts to be made right. But know this, I don't believe, I just don't believe that we can even make our own hearts right. That's the problem. We confess that we're sinners. You know what being a sinner means? It means at any moment you dip into that reservoir of anger and hurt, and it finds expression through words or actions. Any moment. Been a good person my whole life. That's sin. That's why we began by saying, Lord, have mercy. I need you to fix my heart, especially the hearts of people out there too. And I feel like our culture right now really wants to fix hearts. We really want you to be a good person. And I get that instinct. That, man, I get it. But unfortunately, there's no human that has the authority to change your heart. You can't even change your heart. Only Jesus Christ can give you a new heart. And here's the beauty of the Trinity. He gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the business of changing hearts. Jesus is in the business of being perfect. His active righteousness, he loved everybody, even his enemies. And he told us to love our enemies. He loved everybody. It didn't matter. They were Romans occupying his place. Didn't matter if they were from a Samaritan. Didn't matter if they were. He taught us and did love everybody perfectly. That's why we look to him. He did it right. The hope that we're going to do it right is long gone. Confess. Our hope now is that Jesus did it right and he gives it to us. And he's changing our hearts so that we can start to actually look like him over time slowly. But that requires another gift of God. So he's given us the work. And now, and Jesus is king. He's in charge. He has the authority to save. We don't. But he also has an agency. He has, if the government has like the police to carry things out, Jesus is king. And he has a way of carrying things out. He has a little police department or whatever. And that's the Holy Spirit. Act 3. Come on up, Matt. So God is carrying things out. He accomplishes the mission through Christ by coming to us. And now he's going to apply the work of Christ to our hearts. This is where we become new people. Thank God.
Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. It's on page 487. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. So the Great Commission, the last thing Jesus says before he ascends is this, is that go and make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Identifying with God. God gives himself to us completely in all of his good gifts, in coming to us, making the first move to us, and then giving us a new heart that can go to him. So the Holy Spirit is given through baptism. Repent, and baptism is the moment God says, I want to give you something you can touch and feel. It's not just located in your 13-year-old self at a summer camp. You know what I mean? I mean, I speak from my own experience, but if I had to base my faith only on my experience and my understanding, it would be hard because most of the time I went forward to receive Jesus because there was a cute girl going up. That says something about me. Don't worry, not you. That's how I am. But God says, no, I had a moment before heaven and earth where I said at baptism, I put my mark on you. I receive you. Mm-hmm. I give you the Holy Spirit. I give you the DNA of my family.
So the Holy Spirit applies to us the work of Christ. Everything that Christ did that we couldn't, the Holy Spirit says, cool, I'm going to give that to you, Grace. I'm going to give you the righteousness of Christ, his perfection. That's yours. So when God the Father looks at you, you're perfect. And now you can actually begin to receive the good gifts of the Father. So the Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ to us and allows us to receive the good gifts of the Father again. And how does the Holy Spirit do this? We confess it in our creed every Sunday. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does when he descends upon us is he draws us together to the body of Christ, the church. This right here is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us together and says, I'm going to show you the place where God pours out his love, where he promises and guarantees, I will be here with you. It's the church. And it's messy, and it's full of sinners who continue to have sin and hurt one another. But then the Holy Spirit gives the church another authority, which is
the authority to forgive.
Yes.
And to be secure in the resurrection. Like, we're the sinners that have received grace from a God who's in complete control, and he says, you want to do something? I know. I've put my image in you. You want to be loving. You want to be better than you are. Receive my goodness and let the Holy Spirit then empower you to forgive. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Ask for forgiveness. Because we've been promised and put in our hearts the resurrection, that God's always taking broken legs and making them work again. Blind guy can have his sight. Your sadness can be turned to joy. Only Jesus Christ, only God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can take the anger, the hurt, the very real stuff that's happened to you and turn it. But it's through the Holy Spirit saying, Lord, this hurts. I want what you have. He says, well, I've cleaned you. I've marked you. I pour my Holy Spirit. I can deliver peace and love and joy and goodness and kindness. I can heal anger and rage and grossness. I can do that. Let me. And so we ask, and the Holy Spirit does when we receive it. Don't fight it. Don't fight like, oh, I'll try to be better. Ask for forgiveness and let him give it to you. Then once you're forgiven, you're like, Lord, I'll try to do my best. I know it's not enough. He's like, all right. And then he'll say, you know, stop bringing good gifts that should be for others to me. So like, I'll try to be better, Lord. He's like, you're way worse than you can imagine. Just let me give to you. But why don't you take those good ideas of thinking about somebody or loving them to people around you? Take it there. That's the passive righteousness of God, where he's done all the work. Our salvation is here, and he just likes to see us restored by the Spirit to love some people around us. And this kind of love does not have to be perfect. It is not saving. It's just nice, and it's how God created us to work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness, hope of resurrection, a lot to be said, but it's fair to say God has given us to himself completely. He's given us his creation. He's given us his son. He's come to us. And then he's given us his Spirit. And this is what we would do for people if we could, right? For our kids. I want to set them up with an inheritance. Then I just want to live with them and walk with them for a little bit, make sure they're good. And then I want my Spirit to be with them going, don't do that, don't do that, do this, do that. We would love to have that kind of control for our loved ones.
But this is what God does.
This is what God does, because that way we create a lot of therapy.
Our triune God does for us. He gives himself to us completely.
Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks for helping us to maybe not understand how this works academically, but spiritually and emotionally, would you apply these truths to us to comfort our hearts and minds, that you are in control, you give good gifts, you come to us and you give us new hearts that can be healed and come to you and love others. But we look to you for this, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So today, we want to push you guys just a little bit by reciting the Nicene Creed instead of the Apostles' Creed. And this one's a little longer, so we'll have to put our pants on.
This is, but this is the good thing about this one is it's addressing the ideas of who Jesus is. Some people thought he was just a ghost. Other people thought he was just a good dude. And so they're trying to, in this creed, we're saying Jesus Christ is both man and God. So what is it you believe, Christian?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Woo! Amen.
You did it.
That's a good one. Well, let's take this time now. If you have prayer requests, we move the prayer board back there, a little easier access. We'll take some time just to have general prayer as we move into the Lord's Supper. Oh, and also part of our worship is giving. So we give our prayers to God, we give thanks to God, praise to God. And so we thank God for how he's provided for us through everything. And tithing or giving is just a way of saying, thank you, Lord, you provide. You're the God of all creation, and you allow my shoes not to wear out. You know, he did that for the people in the Exodus for 40 years, said their shoes never wore out, which alone is a huge miracle of provision, right? Because they didn't have Nikes back then. Sorry, that got me thinking. That wouldn't have lasted 3 months. But God provides. So we give thanks to God. Let me pray and then think about people or things that are on your heart and mind to pray for as we offer those to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you our heavy hearts, our heavy minds. We just pray, God, have mercy. Have mercy on all of our folks, all the nation, all the world that is trying to figure out and walk through justice and truth and purpose and meaning. Look, we just need your help. And so I pray, Lord, with New City, we pray together for your peace to be made known, that you would heal broken and wounded hearts, that you would restore, that you would work your justice, which we know is gracious and loving and kind, but we trust the justice systems to do their job. But we trust you to save and to heal. That's your job, Lord. So remind us of that as we lift up all of our neighborhoods and our friends and our family. Protect, bless, heal, pour out your healing and your forgiveness as we repent and look to you for all of our sins. That we can only love our neighbor as we receive your love for us. So continue to work on us, Holy Spirit. Continue to make us people who are ready to forgive, to be forgiven, ready to love, ready to trust you. Help us, and then walk with us, Lord. I know the one promise you make every time I just want to turn you into a fortune teller and tell me what to do, you always say, I'm not going to do that, but I will promise you I'm going to be with you whatever you walk through. So anchor us to that truth. You are with us whatever and wherever and whenever, whatever it is we walk through. You are with us. Thank you. We praise you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Just remember, we have the prayer board back there. For those of you at home, I tried this week to reach out to as many of you as I could. It's difficult when the church is scattered to figure out how to navigate all these things. But if you have prayer requests, for those of you who aren't with us, you feel free to send them to me, and I will write them up and put them up on the board. And then this week, what I'm going to try to do is to help us stay in community, is I'm going to take a picture of the prayer requests on the board, and I will probably text one of them to you so you can pray for that person. Have a moment. So just know, if you're putting something on the board, it will most likely end up in text message to someone in our church so that they can pray for you. And this is just a way that we can continue to be the church and love one another.
So maybe text us directly if you have one that is private.
Yes. Correct. Good.
Okay. Well, Jesus, as he's here, he sets up a way. He says, to understand that Jesus is God and man is what happens at the Lord's Supper. It's just some grape juice in the middle and wine on the outside. It's just a wafer, but it's something more, right? How can it be anything more? It's just that. And if we try to apply logic to it, we come up with all sorts of theories of transubstantiation, consubstantiation, remembrance. We try to figure it out, and at least what we believe and the tradition we're in says we don't try to apply reason to figuring out how Jesus is God and man and how this is just bread and wine and the body of Christ. We just say, thank you, Lord. We, by faith, we partake of it, and we believe it's the word of God in a form that we can touch and feel, and it's the word of God that changes our hearts, that heals our wounds, that helps us. So that's how we approach this. Every once in a while, I like to say that.
Also, this is a tangible place of forgiveness. This is where the Holy Spirit gathers us to forgiveness, and this is where we receive it. And try looking for forgiveness outside of the church. There is none. Spend 5 seconds on Instagram, and you'll see there is no forgiveness outside of the church. This is where we receive the forgiveness of God, who says, I forgive you for committing murder. I forgive you for hating your neighbor. I will work out everything for good and put death to death.
So the night, we're going to pass these out. We'll do it together, as it's been our...
Yes. Practice.
Pass this around, just contemplate the night that Jesus was betrayed. He's gathering with his best friends, telling them, I'm going to have to die for you. And they had a hard time believing it. Didn't seem fair. But it was the only way that our hearts could be changed, that our futures could be made secure. It's the only way for true justice to be poured out and for any of us to still be alive and find peace is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So thank the Lord, he's given us this as our death and our justice and our peace. It's all on him, and he loves you. So that night that he was betrayed, he said, "This is my body, which has been broken and given for you. Take and eat of it. It's the true body of Christ." In the same way, he took the cup, poured it out, and he said, "This is my blood given for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so I announce to you the true blood of Christ shed for your forgiveness. Take and drink of it." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we celebrate this with the Trinity. Because we can pray to Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, "You hear us, you are God." I want to pray over each family. That's our instinct here, Lord, and we'll get back to that one day. But while I wait for that, I pray kind of a blanket over everyone. I pray that you would bless each household, that you would replace hopelessness or sadness or loss of energy or confusion or anger or what all the emotions we feel as humans. I pray that you would just open up the windows and blow through, Holy Spirit, replacing with your good gifts, replacing with peace and love and joy and even just some laughter or moments where we don't feel like we have to distract ourselves, that we can actually just be. Lord, would you provide that for your sheep right here who have been brought together as your body, who've been brought together around your forgiveness, your love. Minister yourself to them completely, I pray. And we give thanks for all your good gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive God's blessing. This is from 2 Corinthians. It's the "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever." Amen.
Amen.